Hello and welcome, friends. This is the JRPG Report, episode 169. I'm your host, James Fisher. We've got a very short podcast on deck for you guys today. Only a handful of stories, as we are just a day or two away from E3 getting going. And as is usually the case, there's not a lot to talk about. But we do have something, and that something popped up about, I think, 11:30 last night. I was starting to get a wee bit sleepy, and I was streaming my playthrough of Dragon Quest XI S Definitive Edition Echoes of Elusive Age. That's quite a title, but I was reminded by one of our viewers, Optic, and he was like, yeah, the Monarch trailer just dropped that we had teased about last week. And I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead and wrap it up and head over there and check it out. And it is official. There was debut trailer information and screenshots all for the newly announced JRPG Monarch. This is coming via some former Atlus staffers who worked on the Shin Megami Tensei series, and that influence is pretty evident as you look at the trailer. There are two trailers that are out for it now. You can check out on our podcast on our YouTube channel, JRPG Report, as well as new images I just loaded up as well, and even some soundtrack information you can have a listen to, including some of the theme song and various other things. So here's the skinny on it. It's coming out this year on October 14th in Japan. Over there, it's going to be handled by Cloud Leopard Entertainment. It will have traditional and simplified Chinese and Korean subtitle support in Asia day and date for the game's Japanese release on October 14th. Now, it has also been confirmed that both English voiceovers and subtitles will be added to the game later via a free update. At the time, suggesting a Western publisher had already picked up the game for release, and that was later confirmed today. NIS America will release the game in early 2022. It was initially said it was coming for PS5, PS4, and Switch, and with its Western release, it will also add a PC version. So that's about everybody, right? Oh yeah, Xbox. I'm sorry, guys. But you're not playing an Xbox for JRPGs, are you? Here is an overview of the game. Suddenly, you awaken at the Shin Makamado Academy before you use a barrier separating the campus from the rest of the outside world. Within the academy grounds are the madness-inducing mist, cryptic phone calls that connect to the overworld, and seven pact bearers, each with their own demonic power ruled by their egos. To resist the irrationality surrounding you, you acquire the authority of vanity, a demonic power that subsists off of your ego and madness. You and your four companions then establish the true student council, with you as their vice president. Together, you fight to return the academy back to morality. At Shin Makamado Academy, you'll befriend and fight alongside four companions who will lead you to four separate destinies. Whose hand will you ultimately take? Where will their paths lead you? How will these four fates converge? Only you, the master of your own destiny, can find out. Sounds pretty cool, right? Here are the key features. They say, wield your madness to your advantage. Activating your authority grants you power in exchange for raising your mad gauge, with capital letters, M-A-D. When your mad gauge reaches max, you enter a state of madness, causing you to attack enemies and allies alike for several turns before self-destructing. Controlling the madness effectively will help turn the tide in battle. Obviously, attacking your friends and self-destructing, not what you want to do. Fight back against the demonic forces. Control up to six characters and a turn-based free movement battle system. Attack enemies from behind and resonate with surrounding allies to perform combo attacks. Situational awareness and calculated decision-making are the keys to victory. They say you can explore an academy thrown into disarray. Within the mist are phone calls that connect you to the overworld. You must explore every inch of the mist to resolve the mysterious anomalies plaguing the academy. There are seven access points on the map of your desires. pride, wrath, envy, lust, greed, gluttony, and sloth. Your affinity for each will change according to how you answer the diagnostic tests that are given throughout the story. How your ego develops rest upon your own desires. And friends, they are the reflections of your ego. Friends are demons that answer only to you. Different types can be unlocked for each of these seven desires. Strengthening your ego increases the range of cosmic customization options for your friends, as well as how much their equipment can be enhanced. So character design is being handled by a gentleman that goes by Sobin. Scenario writer, Fayuku Hayashi, and Ryutaro Ito. So there's, like I said, checked out the debut trailer. Definitely has kind of like a Caligula effect look to it, mixed with Shin Megami Tensei. Very dark looking title, but it looks pretty cool. A lot of people are very excited about this thing. Let's see, what was the second? Oh, yeah, so NS America, this is being developed. Okay, so this new company is, or not all, a new company, but Furyu is handling the development of this along with Lancars. And then NIS America is bringing it to the West. It will feature English and Japanese voiceovers. There is a limited edition available at the NIS America online store for $99.99. You get a box, hardcover art box, Vanny limited soundtrack, Seven Sins cloth poster, and the Pieces of Ambition set to 5 acrylic stands. No word on exactly when, but yeah, just that 2022 release date. Doesn't really change anything in the about. Same game, obviously, that's going into it. So, there, like I said, there was first the Japanese announcement trailer and then the Western announcement trailer. So that Western one does actually have English in it, which indicates this game is pretty far along. You know, it's one thing to have games that are kind of teased out for years and we can kind of watch them develop, and these big AAA budget games we know was 3, 4, 5 years in development, maybe even longer on some of them. But then there's, you know, this end of the spectrum where this game was announced, you know, as of this recording, it's June the 10th, and the game is coming out October 14th. So such a, I think I probably prefer the latter method in terms of having a set thing. Obviously in the West, it's going to be a little bit later in 2022, but definitely something to look forward to. Like I said, check out those over on our YouTube channel so you can get a full idea of what this game is going to be looking like when we get it sometime next year. In case you thought the hype level could not get any higher for The Legend of Heroes Kuro no Kiseki, think again. If you have not seen the latest trailer for this game, I advise you to head, well, you know where to head to check that out on our YouTube channel. It is only 1 minute and 5 seconds long, but the trailer will be good enough alone, but they picked like that perfect music to also elevate the hype level. It looks so cool. So definitely head over there and check it out. It did confirm in the trailer the September 30th release date for this in Japan, but it was really the contents of the trailer which sent viewers kind of into a hysteria. We know that where this game is taking place in Calvert is going to be the second half of the Legend of Heroes story, with all new characters, settings, ornament systems, everything's brand new. So we kind of talked about some of those subplot characters that have popped up and which have also opened the door for some returning characters. Now, as terms of playability goes, I can not speak on whether or not they're going to be playable or not, and I kind of hope they aren't. I want to kind of focus on the new storylines rather than the old one. But in this trailer, everybody went crazy because Fee shows back up. And looking a little bit older, Fee, still doing her bracer thing, which would seemed to be why she could show up, of all people that we knew about, as her bracer duties can take her far and wide. But yeah, everybody just went nuts over that, as Fee is a beloved character in the universe and certainly has her dedicated fan base. The ones that I picked up on, remember we talked about Killika had showed back up from the Trails in the Sky. And fans of that subseries in particular definitely noticed at least one, and you had to go a little shorter frame by frame to see the second one. But Zen has made his appearance as well, and looks amazing. And I actually saw a small little segment from another short little clip on Twitter somewheres, actually showing him as a controllable character, at least for a small portion of it. I don't think he's a part of the main cast. I believe he's just a support character at some point in time, but showed him in action. You can't have Killika and you can't have Zen without having Walter. So we've not seen him pop up in quite a long time, and hopefully we'll get some final resolution to their story arc that began so long ago, as the only Calvard character, or one of the few Calvard characters that we knew about, making appearance in the other games. So it's cool to kind of see them show back up. But man, game looks the game looks so good, and it's so sad that we had to wait so long for it. We did get some information, of course. There's always going to be a special edition of the game. They're calling this the Spriggan edition, which is a pretty cool name, of course. That's what they call detectives in the game. So in that, you get the mini soundtrack with Tall Case, they're calling it, which contains a variety of background music from the game, themed after the multi-ethnic country that is Calvard. You get the early materials book, To the Land of Origin and Dawn, a 96-page art book containing a vast amount of material, including concept visuals, characters, the areas of Calvard, weapons, herbal cinema, enemy characters, and more. You get the Archive Solution Office character data file. This 100-page data file containing high-resolution illustrations of the characters that appear in the game, including a complete understanding of their detailed designs, such as their sides and back. Very cool. And a first-print bonus downloadable content, Hollow Core Voice Latoya Hamilton. Original downloadable content that allows players to change the system voice of the tactical Ordman Zilia to that of the young Dr. Latoya Hamilton. So that's pretty cool. You get that option for sure. Yeah, obviously we've got to wait a while to this, but go check that trailer out. I guess if you obviously this is in Japan, the Spriggan edition. I am sure we'll have our own special edition from NAS America whenever that does come around. But we got a while to build the hype on this one, and it seems to want to build a little bit more and more every day. I mentioned it's going to be a short one, so we've only got a couple more stories to talk about. The title Wizardry, The Five Ordeals, will launch on Early Access via PC on Steam on June 18th. GameSpark Publishing and developer 59 Studio announced. As previously announced, the Early Access release includes all the features of the original 2006 version, with all official scenarios implemented playable up until the ending. The user interface and editor, however, still require adjustments, hence the early access. Here is a quick overview of the game. The best spinoff of Wizardry, beloved in Japan for 15 years, is coming to Steam. The Wizardry series was born in 1981. Quick side note, I was looking through my NES collection just to see what I might need to look for next time I go to the game store, hopefully today. And I've got the old NES cartridge. It's one of those things, like, I guess, you know, not to brag or anything, but I've got close to 200 NES games, so it's hard to keep track of which ones you have and don't have. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't realize I had that one. They say in Japan, it is known as the originator of hardcore fantasy games, and many Japanese fantasy works have been under its influence. In the old wizardry, which follows the old hack-and-slash TRPG style, the objective is to create a character-slash-party in the training center on the edge of town and conquer the labyrinth in first-person dungeon crawls. Combat is a simple turn-based system that's synonymous with JRPGs, and storytelling is narrative-heavy. The Japanese still believe this is the one and only masterpiece. Wizardry, The Five Ordeals, was made in 2006 and aspires to go back to the old school. It was created by staff of Wizardry Guidance series, a spinoff of the series in Japan. Five independent scenarios, each taking a dozen hours to complete, can be played in one software package. Main monster designs are from Sun Tsumai, and background music is by Blisscape, who also worked on 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. Make and share your own adventures. The game's biggest feature is the scenario editor. You can make your own old school fashioned dungeon crawler and play those made by others. Of course, the balance of the game is yours to decide. Over the past 15 years, Japanese users have created more than 110 scenarios, which are the driving force behind bringing the game to Steam. In this new enhanced version, this was made under the Unity engine. Almost everything has been overhauled except for the game balance and foundation of the game. There's widescreen / HD support, 3D labyrinth and high resolution monsters, 4 user interface models and modes in total, including 2 completely new ones, new built-in scenario selector, gamepad support, Steam Cloud support, custom portrait support, and various editor updates and enhancements. At the launch, each official scenario has not been translated into English yet, but the game itself has a user interface in English. They're doing their best to translate the missing parts. There you go. So early access here in just a little bit over the week, in a week on Steam for this one. I'm not sure how long it'll be in there. Hopefully it'll come along quickly and people can help get it ready to go. I don't speak often of rumors, but since this is coming up on E3, we've been looking for any tidbit of information about Shin Megami Tensei 5 on the Switch for quite a while. It disappeared for a while, then reappeared. Still no play, still haven't seen it in action. The latest rumor, and we will get this, I would bet if we learn anything JRPG related, it's going to be a release date for this game. The teasing rumor right now is that it will launch on the Switch on November 11th. It has been spotted by Persona Central over on Twitter. I can't confirm nor deny that. If it is true, they are saying this is going to be a simultaneous worldwide release on November 11th. I feel like we can... I feel like this is a pretty safe bet. The game has to be coming out soon. I mean, they've been working on this thing forever. I feel like they're finally going to show it off. And hopefully we can learn a little bit more about it. This kind of leads a little bit to it. The website also released some details about it. They say, Shin Megami Tensei 5 maintains the appeal of the series while adding high-quality visuals via the latest hardware. It is a new experience unlike anything ever before. The protagonist, a high school student living a normal everyday life, winds up lost in another world known as Diot after a certain incident. After fusing with a mysterious man and becoming the forbidden existence, Nabahino, the protagonist, throws himself into a battle between gods and demons. In Daat, D-A-A-T, a world covered in desert, various gods and demons wander, including the demons the size of mountains and giant birds that flap their wings in the sky. While some demons are good, others are worse and will turn against the hero. Exploring Daat while slaying demons that approach the protagonist with never-before-seen power. You'll encounter over 200 demons that explore the world. In addition to returning ones, there are some newly illustrated ones. This all sounds completely feasible, right? I hope to have some concrete evidence to back this up. Coming up at E3, remember, they're doing Nintendo's own little E3 special treehouse at the end of it. I believe it's on the 12th, if I'm not mistaken, or the 3rd. E3 starts on the 12th, and I believe it's on the last day, the 15th, is when Nintendo's presentation is. But we'll just have to wait and see if this is true or not. Yeah, June 15th. So the last day of E3, they'll have that special have some announcements and have the treehouse version where they show some playables. Maybe we'll finally get to see this thing in action. We'll do a big wrap-up podcast on the 17th, Thursday as usual, going over everything that we learned from E3 this year. But keep it glued to our social media channels on Twitter and Facebook, as well as any trailer that pops up, and there will be numerous ones. I'll share them as soon as I can on our YouTube channel. If you are pretty excited, as a lot of people have, the Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate, that's out today. If you've got some extra money, there's some pre-orders coming up for PlayArts Kai figures for Red 13, Rufus, and Jesse. All three of them are currently available for pre-order from the Japanese Square Enix online store, although they have different release dates and prices. Rufus is going to cost you roughly $150 and will ship out on November 6th. Looks pretty awesome. Red 13, same price, about $150. It will come out on December the 4th. Jesse comes with a motorcycle, so she's going for a bit more, about $300, and won't come out until February 5th. There is a non-motorcycle version of hers that will cost about $150. So if you're wanting to throw down some money and got a couple $100 in your pocket, and once you the Red 13 one in particular is pretty phenomenal, I got to be honest. That was one of the figures that I never got. And I don't even know if they actually released one, because I got a bunch of them when Advent Children came out. I don't ever recall seeing one for it. Wife expressed interest that we should get that one, and I looked it up, and I was like, there's some Japanese-only ones out there that are crazy priced. So, yeah, I guess about in this price range, but not nearly as detailed or as cool-looking for sure. A few more stories to pass along for you guys. Scarlet Nexus fans who were hoping to be able to play it for free via Xbox Game Pass will not be able to do that. Bandai Namco confirmed that it won't be available on the subscription service at launch. Doesn't mean it's not coming. They just say, we have no plans to bring Scarlet Nexus to Xbox Game Pass at this time, but they are excited for it to launch on June the 25th. I'm not surprised. I mean, Xbox Game Pass is a pretty amazing deal, but I don't think we're going to be getting brand new games on it like that. That seems a little off. Now, down the road, that's completely feasible. Like in a year or something, that certainly seems very, very possible for that to happen. If you are curious about the upcoming Inspired by JRPG's tale, Christ Tales, there is a lengthy preview that popped up over on Siliconia, or you can just head over to either Facebook or Twitter, and I shared those stories there. Game is coming out on July the 20th of this year. The demo is available. I don't want to read it all to you. It's kind of long, and those who are wanting to experience it fresh, maybe they don't want to take it into it. But I think it was a positive review. The title of it says that Christ Tales seems to focus on causes and effects. Probably could have figured that one out with its past, present, and future focus, but you know, there you go. I think it sounds like it's going to be an amazing game. I've been looking forward to it for quite a long time, and it's finally getting close to happening. The last story I want to bring along to you guys is from Atlas, and they had a blog post regarding games for PS3, PSP, and Vita. The company confirmed that its PlayStation Portable titles will remain available for purchase digitally on PS3 and Vita, quote, for the foreseeable future. Now, PSP is going to close down on July 2nd. Nothing really they can do about that, but it's good to know that they have no plans to take it off, nor should they. It seems like something that should be readily available to all. As long as Sony is willing to support those ideas, I believe the companies shouldn't pull back either. So the only thing I really want to speak on quickly is just maybe what I expect to come out of E3 this year. So it's a weird show this year, digital only. E3 has always been, you know, you kind of have the public version of it where there's a few members of the everyday public that's allowed to get in there and get their hands on games. But it's for industry people, right? Like, I remember in our GameStop days, they would fly out all the store managers to E3, and that'd be their first chance to get a look at stuff. Sometimes they'd come home with systems. It was always a crazy event, but it was also a chance for industry people to meet and mingle and network and talk about ideas and get excited about upcoming products. You know, E3 was always a place, if you were going to launch a piece of hardware, you were going to see it first there, right? Having the crowds there in anticipation. Well, don't have that this year. It's going to be purely online. So if you're asking me what I'm expecting, I don't expect much. Now, having that mindset, I believe, is advantageous. So if I don't expect much and they deliver more than that, I feel pretty good about it, right? I don't think we're going to get major announcements. I guess the biggest hardware thing would be if Nintendo Switch Pro is in fact a real thing and they announce it. I think that would be a very good thing for Nintendo to do. I love the Switch. But as a piece of hardware, it is underpowered. I'd like to see it be able to perform a little bit better. I saw personally the leap from PlayStation 4 to its Pro model. I believe Switch could take advantage of this as well. I don't necessarily think it's going to go to 4K. I may be wrong, but that would be nice. Although if they don't look and play better, you know, those games weren't really optimized for 4K in the first place, so it wouldn't necessarily make a ton of sense. We'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, Sony is able to announce, and Xbox as well, that there's some hope in the future that people who want a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series can get their hands on one. I did see some pictures even of Xboxes in Walmart stores. So at least they're getting to that point. I don't see PlayStation getting to that point until next year at the earliest. It is still a lottery system. And at best, you got a small, tiny chance of getting one. That's hardware. I don't see anything else coming about of it. Software-wise, JRPGs are always a little hit or miss. Tales of Arise is going to be there, right? I think we're going to finally maybe see some new party members. With its release date getting so close, it's the time to show it, right? We briefly talked about that Final Fantasy rumor going out there about the Origin game. We'll see if that's true or not. We just talked about Shin Megami Tensei 5. Other Atlas, I would... I know we've talked about it briefly here in time, but that fantasy RPG that they were making, that is who knows where, that seems like either they need to announce the next one, right? So is it going to be Persona 6? Is it going to be this fantasy RPG that they've been working on forever? Shin Megami hopefully is coming out this year, so that would be nice. We just saw Dragon Quest 12, so it'd be nice to see that in playable form. I still don't think that's going to happen. I think that would go more at Tokyo Game Show. But we'll have to wait and see. Square Enix announced what they were talking about, but not a lot of JRPG there. It's the place to show off Remake Part 2 or Final Fantasy 16 again. I don't think it's going to happen. That's just my gut feeling. And like I said, if that's wrong, then I'll be very happy with it. But with E3, we typically only see the big AAA JRPGs. We don't see a ton of the smaller ones. Now, with it being a digital format, we may get to see a few more of those from some smaller publishers. Personally, if like we saw something about Rise of 3, that would be cool to me. I'd really like to hear some more on that. There's a lot of things that they could show, but like I said, I don't anticipate a ton. And we'll just kind of keep our fingers crossed that we get some good announcements and maybe get some surprises on some things upcoming that we can all look forward to. And I have lots of things to talk about next week. I hope it's not another short podcast as this one has turned out. But that's all I got to ramble about this week. We knew it was going to be short. I got 30 minutes out of it, so that's not too bad. Quickly, I need to say thank you to all your guys' support out there. You did make a personal goal of mine possible just yesterday as we did hit that 1,000 mark of subscribers on YouTube. It's all thanks to the viewers and listeners like yourselves who have made this year and a half journey possible from just starting off and wanting to get something going and finally making it all finally happen. It's just a start. It's, you know, I've been developing this brand for a few years with the podcast and now with YouTube. I hope to continue to grow it and with your guys' support, not only just through listening, but financial support as well. If you really like what we're doing here, I would hope you would at least consider a small donation each month, either via the link here. You can do that directly through Anchor. You can do it through PayPal, just a small one-time support. That's fine. James Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, Productions, @gmail.com. Or you can do it through our Patreon channel. That's always a good way to go. Just search for JRPG Report. I'll always thank you greatly for your support. I thank you so much for listening and continue to make this a part of your every week and everyday lives. It's truly an honor and a blessing to be able to do this for you guys. Until next week, we'll have tons of E3 to talk about. My name is James Fisher, signing off. But until next time, get back out there and level up.